Welcome to the Bethel Church Podcast. Each week you'll be able to check in for our messages from Sunday and other material. We hope that our messages encourage you in your walk in daily faith with Jesus. Make sure to check out our website, bethelstratford.org.
During the Brezhnev era, at the height of the Cold War, Billy Graham visited Russia and met with government and church leaders. Conservatives in the West harshly criticized him for treating the Russians with such courtesy and respect. He should have taken on a more prophetic role, they said, by speaking out against the abuses of human rights and religious liberty. One of his critics said, "Dr. Graham, you have set the church back 50 years. Graham lowered his head and replied, "I am deeply ashamed. I have been trying very hard to set the church back 2,000 years.
Good morning. It feels like it's been a while, so if you've started attending Bethel Church in September, my name is Chad. I am actually the lead pastor here. I've been away for a little while. We had the privilege of traveling to Israel and praying for tons of people over there. And it was a great time. It was a great time being there. And Pastor Melissa and I are trying to figure out how we'll give that report to you guys and what it was like. We're also trying to process everything that we experienced. And so right now, if you ask me what my favorite thing is, I'm not actually sure. And so there was just a lot. And if you've been paying attention in the news, a lot of stuff has been happening in Israel. And I was texting with some people this morning that are there. And then also we got an email from one of our missionaries. And so I want to just pray for Israel. But one of our missionaries, the Bastives, are there. They actually were in Russia. And when the war between Russia and Ukraine happened, they left to Israel to be safe. And now they're sitting there and they said this. They said, "Yesterday we were glued to our balcony watching the missiles live. Today we continue to hear the bombing and the military planes flying all over us." And then they list off numbers that you can find in the news about how many have been hurt and killed and taken captive. And they've asked us to pray for God to give wisdom to the Israelite government on how to rescue those taken captive and how to lead through this and making crucial decisions. I know you just sat down, but sometimes I feel like we stand in prayer. And so can we stand together? My thought process is when we're standing in prayer, we're standing with them. And we're standing with them in force. I don't normally do this. And I think I've done it, I've said that now, and I'm going to do it twice in the last few months, but would you, if you feel comfortable, would you just take the hand of the person standing beside you? And even if you can, if we can reach, form it right across the room, like reach across an aisle. Be careful as you walk out down the alleys. And let's just stand together in prayer for Israel and for the leaders. And so, Father, we thank you. First off, Father, for where we live. Lord, help us to understand the freedom that we have. And Lord, I pray for Israel. Lord, I pray for your leaders, Lord, our missionaries, different people that are there doing your work. Lord, I pray for protection over them. Lord, I pray for protection over every family, every child. That, Lord, through this time, your protection will reign in Jesus' name. And Lord, as the Israelites' leaders are trying to figure out how to do this, Lord, I pray for supernatural wisdom. Yes. Yes. Lord, as David sought after you for your direction, that, Lord, they will seek after you. And that, Lord, you will give them wisdom on how to deal with the situation at hand. And Lord, I pray for just a supernatural peace to come over the land. That for, Father, the captives just to be set free and sent home in the name of Jesus. And so, Father, this is your land. This is your chosen people. And so, Father, we ask you to move on behalf of them and strengthen them. Give them peace in Jesus' name. And we just speak to this war and we say, stop in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. I encourage you to continue to pray for them in the next coming weeks. Now, I also just declared that the war stops, so just believe that it stops as well. As I've been away, our staff and an incredible team of volunteers have been helping look after everything. And from what I've seen watching online, and I got to participate in one of our services from Jerusalem. I got to watch our live feed from there. Can you do me a favor for our staff and all the volunteers that help run our Sundays? Could you just give them a hand? Without all of them, without all of you, we can't leave and do these things. And so we just say thank you. It's been an honor. And we will figure out how to give you a report between Pastor Melissa, myself, and Ruben. And just we're still trying to figure out what just we went through. And it was amazing and it was incredible. And so our team here, the church staff, they have been walking through incredible stuff. The early church and their core things of the gospel, community, doing life together. Faith is an action. Last week you heard about Holy Spirit. And I get to come back and the first message I get to talk to you about is generosity. I get to share with you on generosity. And so as I'm coming back, I'm not sure if this is the one I want to jump right into, but we're going to talk about generosity this morning. And my goal at the end of this message is for you to leave here encouraged. So look to your neighbor and say, he's aiming to leave here encouraged. And look to your other neighbor and say, yes, he will refer to money at some point. Again, if you're new, I don't really talk about this because our church is fantastic. We have an unbelievable church. You've heard about Giftober and what we do through that. You're going to hear a little bit later about some of the things that are happening in the community and the reputation that Bethel has. And it's all because of you. And so as we dive into this, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8. If you have your Bibles, turn there. If you have your phones, flip to there. And we are going to read some scripture this morning. We're going to walk through a few points. And so 2 Corinthians chapter 8, starting at verse 1, it says this. And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overwhelming joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people, and they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God also to us. As we read this, I want to connect a couple dots. One, as we talk about generosity, you read here the grace that God has given, the grace that God extends, the grace that he extends to those who give. And then it says this in verse 4, it just stood out to me as I was preparing for this. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in the service of the Lord's people. As you read through this scripture, you see that this wasn't a time of plenty. It wasn't a time of wealth. It actually says that it was in the midst of severe trial, their overwhelming joy, and their extreme poverty welled up. And they considered it a privilege. They urgently pleaded. Now, I was told this morning that when I was away, the one thing that kind of was forgotten a couple Sundays, because we're getting back at it new. We weren't taking up an offering for a little while. But a couple times when I was away, the offering was forgotten to get taken up. How many of you wanted to stand up and be like, wait! You can't continue in the service. You haven't given us the privilege to give. Right, nobody. So what was it with them? What was it with this church that they desired, they wanted to give? This is what we're going to talk about this morning. I feel like I have to continue to repeat myself because I want you to know this church is incredible in their giving. So if you're sitting here this morning and you give on a regular basis, please understand my heart. I'm not talking to you. I'm not looking for more. The church is doing fantastic. God is amazing. But what I want the ones in the room who give just maybe once in a while or don't give at all, I want you to understand the blessing that comes with being obedient to the Father. And so the first point I want to talk about is stewardship. I want to talk about stewardship. With us to be faithful what he's given us. What has he given you that you're supposed to be faithful with? And see, here's the amazing thing about Scripture. When you're faithful, God will increase. God will increase. All of us know this. We understand this in other areas of our lives. If you're a boss in the place, you're an employee, you're a manager, you understand that the employee that you give some responsibility to, if they squander it and they wreck it and they don't do their job, what do? You pull back responsibility. If they show themselves faithful and productive with what you've given them, what do you normally do? You give them some more because you know they're trustworthy. They're faithful. Luke 16, verse 10, it says this, "Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have been trustworthy with someone else's property, if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own?" The next verse is what catches me. The next verse should stand out to you. Because this is Jesus talking. And here's what he says. "No one can serve two masters." How many of you right now, you probably see the scripture on the screen or you know the scripture, but I would anticipate him saying you can only serve one of two masters. You serve God or you serve the devil. That's what I would anticipate him saying. But that's not what he says. Serve one of two masters. You will either hate the one and love the other. Listen to the wording. Hate the one and love the other. Or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and, what's it say? Money. Money. It doesn't say the devil. Now, you can't serve him and God at the same time either. Let's be clear. But this isn't what he's specifically talking about. Because he knows that you're serving God, you're going to understand, well, I don't serve God and the devil. I can't do either, both of those. I have to pick. He talks about money. What is our Lord? See, God has blessed all of us. He's blessed every one of us in this room. We only need to watch the news and see the rest of the world to see how blessed we are. Our dilemma is this. Most of us don't really watch the news. Most of us scroll on social media. And so what do we compare our lives to? We compare our lives to the top 1 or 2% of the world. That's what we compare our lives to. We forget about the rest. We forget about how blessed we are. Now let me clarify something before we even go any farther into this message. I want you to understand that I believe Christians can be rich and serve God. I don't want you to hear from me that Christians shouldn't have an abundance of money. Because I believe when you're faithful with little, God will continue to pour out. It's a heart issue. It's not actually a money issue. If you love God, you won't love money. So God will give you money to work through you. You see, here's the thing. I have a lot of friends on social media. I have a lot of friends that don't serve God. And all the time I will see posts online, and this is what it'll say. If money is so evil, why does the church always ask for it? So I've responded to some of my friends. I private messaged them because I'm not going to get into some stupid battle on social media because it doesn't go anywhere. And so I'll private message them, and I've said this to them. Hey, I want to respond to your post as the person who stands up in front of people and asks for money. I want to tell you that nowhere in Scripture does it say that money is evil. What it says in 1 Timothy 6, verse 10, it says this: for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Money is not evil. The love of money is evil. And if we can shift that thought process as believers, if you begin to realize, first off, we shouldn't judge believers who have a lot of money. God is blessing them. And in most of the cases that I'm aware of, well-deserved blessing. Well-deserved blessing. God can trust them. Because most people who know how to handle money don't love money. And the ones that don't love money know how to steward it very well. God shows favor to them because he can trust them. Now, here's the amazing thing about God's kingdom. God looks at percentage over total. I want you to realize this. God looks at percentage over total. What do I mean by this? I mean, God looks for a percentage of your income. He looks for a tithe. He looks for a tithe. Tithe translates to 10%. Now, immediately, some people will go, well, that's Old Testament, New Testament, where are we in this? Here's the verse that I always go to. In the New Testament, Jesus speaking, he says this in Matthew 23:23, he says this: woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees. He's talking to religious people. You hypocrites, you give a tenth of your spices, your mint, your dill, your cumin. Sure. As long as you get the tithe part, you can pronounce whatever words, whatever way you want. If you know how to say that word as a spice, maybe this verse is for you. I'm just teasing. So you know all of the spices. You know every spice there is in the world. It's good to be home. But you neglect the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. Here's the part that stands out to me. Jesus says, you should have practiced the latter. He means you should tithe that way. Right down to every spice you can list off. Even that one that I can't pronounce. But I'm sure it tastes fantastic. I doubt it. Without neglecting the former. So what's he saying? Jesus is saying we should tithe. Because why would he say that? Why would he tell them that? If he's like, yeah, in a year or a few months, I'm going to die on the cross and you don't have to do it anymore. Why would he tell them? That's my thought process. My thought process is he wouldn't even draw attention to it. But he's telling us, you should do that and we should actually care about justice and mercy and faithfulness. See, here's the thing about the tithe that keeps every one of us equal in the kingdom of God. Well, Chad, how does that keep us equal? Because we don't compare to one another. If your tithe, if you make $100 a week and your tithe is $10, you're obedient, God bless you. If your tithe is $1,000 a week, God bless you. If your tithe is $1,000,000 a week, God bless you. All of it is equal. See, what happens is the enemy will beat us up. You'll feel, okay, God, I'm supposed to be obedient. I'm supposed to put the $10 in. God, I'm going to teach my kids. They're supposed to put the dollar in. And the enemy will go, well, it doesn't really matter. What's that going to do? It's the faithfulness. It's the faithfulness. It's showing God that we can be faithful. See, when I did youth ministry, what I taught them was you need to tithe right away. You got to start as soon as you get a job. Because I remember working at Lakeshore Camp, making more than minimum wage at $9.25 an hour. Right? Rolling in the dough. If I didn't practice tithing then, because I'm going to tell you the truth, I went from that job, finished on a Friday, and I moved to Toronto, and on Monday I started working for a construction company right away. And I went from $9.25 an hour to $22 an hour. Let me tell you something. If it wasn't a discipline and a practice, for everybody that says, when I make more, I will give. No, you won't. You won't. Because if you have a hard time giving God a pizza, are you really going to give him a big screen TV? It's the faithfulness. Both are equal. Understand my heart. This is where the enemy will defeat us and go, oh, well, what's it matter? It matters because God looks for obedience. That's what he wants. He wants obedience from us. See, here's what you have to realize. Jesus says this in Luke 21, verse 1 to 4. As Jesus looked on, he's standing there with his disciples. They're in the temple and people are coming in. They're giving to the temple. And what happens is all the rich people come in and they take their bags of coin and they rattle it and they drop it in. And it's always a big metal bin so you can hear it all hit. And they're walking in with this attitude of, look at me. And Jesus is standing there with his disciples. And this is what he says. As Jesus looked up, he saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put her two very small copper coins. Truly I tell you, he said, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people have given their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had to live on. Percentage over total. Dave Ramsey, he says this, just give, be a giver. It's about changing your spirit anyway. See, it's not about the money. It's about our heart. It's about our spirit. That's what it's about. See, remember we talked about how God blesses those who know he knows he can trust. Their spirit has been changed to see money as a tool for God. This is why it's so important to see percentage over total, because we can't compare with one another. I remember John Bevere, he was telling a story one time about a friend of his, and he talked about where he lived. He had this big house on a golf course. Already, you know, the house didn't cost pennies. And then he says, you should look at the cars, plural, that he drives. Many of us as Christians might criticize. Does he need that big house? Does he need all those cars? I remember a pastor telling me one time, he was praying, Lord, I need a vehicle. I need a vehicle. Lord, figure this out for me. And he was in a golf tournament on a Saturday. And he came to the par three. And on the par three, it was, you get a hole in one, you win this car that's parked right there. He hits, hole in one. Answer to his prayers. He shows up the next day at church and everybody's asking him, you're going to sell that car and give it to missions, right? And his answer was, actually, no. You can see my car. I've been praying for a new one. This is how God decided to provide. As Christians, we can compare and judge. See, what John Bevere goes on to tell the story of his friend. His friend told God a long time ago, I'll reverse tithe, God, if you help me. What does a reverse tithe mean, Chad? He gives 90% to the Lord and lives on 10. Nobody knows that because he doesn't tell anybody. But God has blessed him. So we can't compare. See, Dave Ramsey, he continues, he says this, if you think it'll take a miracle to get through a month with 10% less in your wallet, you might need to do a lifestyle check. Take a look at your budget and the ways that you cut back on spending. It might mean limiting some of our fun money, packing our lunch instead of eating out every day, brewing your own coffee, or buying generic products. But it is possible. See, some of you are great at this. You're so faithful. Honestly, Bethel is so generous, I feel weird speaking this morning. Especially as my first message back. Because while I was in Jerusalem, I still got emails about the financial report and how blessed Bethel is. But my heart is this, I know statistically that many people in church don't give or they don't give regularly. And my calling is to bring everyone into obedience with God. So when I hear Dave Ramsey say it's possible, you just might need to make some changes, it can happen. See, here's what most of you will know if you've attended long enough. I love coffee. There's no secret to this. I love coffee. I love different flavors of coffee. I love different ways of making coffee and brewing coffee. Most of you probably don't know this, but I have eight different ways of making coffee. I had nine. It's a really sad story. I won't go into it. It was heartbreaking. Because it's broken. But I want to tell you something. And I know statistics. They say like 83% of statistics are made up on the spot. Some of you are catching that slowly. It's all right. Some of you haven't had your coffee this morning. But I will throw out statistics I'm making up, but it roughly probably works out. 90% of the coffee you see me drinking, I've brewed at home. If I have a coffee in my hand from a store or from somewhere else, most likely it's a gift card. Because what you'll find out is I love coffee and I'm super cheap. But I also realize that, God, I want you to bless me so that I can bless others. And so Father God showed me how much I spent on coffee. Now, I'll tell you something. Yes, I have 8 different coffee makers. They're not all drip coffee makers. They're all different. If I went into it now, it'd be a little bit weird. But I want to tell you something. Of the 8, 1, maybe 2, I'm going to say 2 just so I know that I'm not lying, but I'm positive it's 1, I have paid for full price. I've actually got some that people don't want on Facebook Marketplace. They're like, it doesn't work, come and get it. And I'm like, I will fix that thing. And I did. I fixed it, I cleaned it, it all works, it's fantastic. So it doesn't mean you have to give up certain things, but you have to change the way you do it. See, my obedience to God trumped my fancy coffees. And guess what I do now? I make them at home. giving to the Lord is possible because it's percentage, not total. It's a changing of our hearts. God is just happy with our obedience. The third thing is this, final thing, generosity comes from gratitude. Generosity comes from gratitude. What a great point for Thanksgiving Sunday, isn't it? Generosity comes from our gratitude. What are we thankful for? What are you thankful for in your life? See, when we begin to become grateful, when we become thankful for the things that we have and live a life of thankfulness and stewardship, we will begin to see God's blessing in our lives. The ones that are already there. See, so many of us are looking for God's blessing, but He's already blessed you. He's already blessed you. Some of you, like me, you might have to just re-look at how you steward what He's blessed you. And then all of a sudden, when you begin to see it, when you begin to look at it, it changes your spirit and your heart. Just on a side note, if you're like, I think I might want to give this little thing a whirl. When I do my budget, I don't even look at my income. I have my income, and then mathematically it just takes off my giving to the Lord, and then I have a new title or a new total. That's the only total I function from. That's the only total I look at. And that's how I do it, being faithful to the Father. Here's what we have to understand. As earthly parents, when our children are thankful for what we've given them, we actually want to give them more. Have you ever taken your kids to the mall? Or you've taken them out, and you bought them a gift, or you bought them lunch, and you walk out of the restaurant, and the first thing they ask for is something else? I'm glad somebody said yes, just so it wasn't my kids alone. But you immediately are like, did you just forget what we just did? How many of us are children of God that way? God, will you bless me? Will you help me? He does something, then immediately we're like, God, can I have this too? If we're faithful, He will bless. He wants to bless us. God is the same way. Generosityforlife.org, this is what they say generosity is. Generosity involves giving to others, not simply anything in abundance, but rather giving those things that are good for others. Generosity always intends to enhance the true well-being of those to whom it gives. This is why we give, to bless others, to pour into others. This is why as a church, we give to our community to reach tangible needs that will impact their lives on a daily basis. So many churches are known for asking for money. And I want to repeat myself. You guys are fantastic. What if Bethel only became known for giving money away to our community? I'm going to ask Pastor Charles to come. He went to a couple different locations this week and he just heard about our favor and our reputation in the community. And I just want him to share with you what people are saying about Bethel Church.
Thanks, Pastor Shaddy. I was really excited. I love it when you are headed down a certain pathway, then all of a sudden God takes you on a left turn or a right turn. And so I was involved in some of my community activities this past week, and I was called in on a situation that was great in need. And as I was sitting, listening to the need, the person started talking about some ladies from this church. They call themselves the lunch ladies, and started mentioning that they're from Bethel. And when they said that, I was in uniform, so I was wondering, where are they going? Is this going to be good? Is this going to be, or a negative comment coming? And then they said it again, and they said it again, and then they looked at me, and they knew I was from Bethel, and my cover was blown at that time. And so, but as I sat there, what was very apparent, and what they said to me in this special meeting, is that because of these lunch ladies. Are you here, lunch ladies? Will you just kind of stand up right now? Where are some of those lunch ladies right now? There they are. Thank you. Thank you. These ladies are out of the goodness of their hearts, serving the Lord, representing Bethel in such a beautiful way. And this person told me, said, because of what they're doing, they are meeting a need in the lives of our students, and they are enhancing the lifestyle. And as I was there in this meeting, I started to feel just the goosebumps. And this is the favor of God. This is, when God's people are faithful, when God's people will just roll up their sleeves and just serve, the favor of God comes upon us. And like, I wasn't looking for it. I know, and you didn't send me on a mission to look for favor. It was just came to us. And then I was getting ready for Alpha the same night, or same day. And so I went to Domino's Pizza, and I got in there. And just said, I'm going, this is for Alpha, and this is for Bethel. And as soon as I did, they said, we'll give you Chad's discount, so thank you. So I really appreciate it. That's favor, right? That's favor. I mean, you talked about pizza a little bit. So here's the thing. I got in there, and because of our pastor's involvement with the owners of the place, or the franchise, the managers, they just started talking. They just said, we love Bethel. We love what's going on, and we love what your church is doing, and we can't say enough about that. And so as they were just talking, once again, man, I thank God, are just going on a mission, gonna order some pizza. But God was just saying, once again, favor is resting upon us, and favor is not fair. And favor is not. That's why I got your discount, by the way. But favor is something that you and I need to realize. It's not earned, but and we need to walk humbly with it, and we need to, in one sense, spend it well. And so, just going along with your whole message today on Givetober, people, when we are faithful. And we move up from our hearts and use what we have, that God pours out his favor upon us. And he pours out his favor so that we will make an impact for his kingdom, and so that souls will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Charles. We reach into our community in so many ways. Ways that I don't even feel like I can share. There's a tension in me as we talk about what we do in our community. Scripture tells us, don't let the left hand know what the right hand is doing. And so when I share with you what we do, I want you to understand, I'm not sharing with you for pride. I'm sharing with you so you understand where your money goes. But we reach our community in so many ways because of your faithfulness. Not only do we have our lunch ladies, but we have a community meals that pours out into our community on a monthly basis. If you're here and you're part of that, will you stand as well? Oh, all of you, don't start elbowing each other. You all stand. You're a part of it. You can stand. You serve. If you're a part of that team, sir, it's all right. If you've gone and washed dishes, stand. This is how we reach our community. I want to read a scripture with you, and then we're going to close. Matthew 25, verse 35, it says this. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came and visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or need clothing and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you? And the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for the one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Because of your obedience, we're able to bless our community in ways that just blow my mind. To see how God works through Bethel, it's unbelievable. We get to meet these needs because of your faithfulness. See, if you call Bethel home, these stories reflect you and your heart. If you call Bethel home and you don't give or you don't give regularly, I want to encourage you to be a part of this, to join with excitement, that when you hear about what Bethel is doing, you're able to say, that's my church. This is how God has asked us to love people. Imagine what we can do as a church with full support and how God uses us to tangibly touch people's lives in our community. We already touch so many lives and do so many things. Imagine what we can do if everybody participates. Imagine the love that Stratford and St. Mary's will feel through Bethel as we become a church known for giving money away and touching lives. Bethel, you are so faithful. Prayer team, will you come and join me? Let's stand together. If you've come into this place and you've come in and you need prayer, whether it's a physical touch, a spiritual touch, maybe it's emotionally, maybe it is financially, you need to have someone pray into a situation. Will you come before you leave and let these people pray with you? Will you let them stand with you? As your pastor, I want to thank each and every one of you for your faithfulness in supporting us as a church so that we can do what God has asked us to do. I just believe God has such incredible things for Bethel. We're not at the tip of the iceberg. We're not at the top of the mountain. I'll encourage you. I don't believe we're at the bottom. But I just believe that God has so much more for us. So much more he wants to do in you and through you. So if you need prayer this morning, let these fine people pray with you. So Father, I thank you for the blessings in our lives. Lord, I pray that you will help us to see the blessings. Help us to shift our eyes from comparing to seeing how you've already provided and blessed us. Lord, help us to be obedient with you. Lord, I pray that you stir in our hearts a passion, Lord, as that first church that just pleaded to be a part of it. Show us as a church how we can meet the needs of our community and church family. Lord, I pray that you continue to bless us and work through us. Lord, let us be a light to this community as you stir in us a passion to come alongside you. Father, I pray that you keep everybody safe as they travel this Thanksgiving weekend. Love them, protect them, let them have a great time with their family. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful weekend. Go and receive prayer before you leave.
Thanks for checking out this week's message, Bethel Church Podcast. We hope that it's blessed you and encouraged you, and that you come back and check out next week's message as well.